Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in the house?
You didn't say like you meant it. Are you excited to be in the house of God?
Praise the Lord. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time as we've been blessed being in the presence of God and just waiting upon the Lord. I particularly have been blessed actually attending the Bible study on Thursday. And I would really want to encourage every one of you, if you have time to come and experience the things that the Lord has been teaching us. And I want to surprise somebody. I want to call Wanganga. Wanganga to come and tell us how he has been blessed, because I know he's a regular. He comes for that Bible study. Please come and tell us just one or two things that in the last few Thursdays, you've been blessed. I know most of us are busy, and you don't have an opportunity to come. But when you're free, please make it up. Come here, and I want to assure you that you're not going to be disappointed. Amen. We've been talking about prayer. That's what we've been studying about, the power of praying for one another. And we realize that there's nothing on this planet. That can go on in your life unless somebody stands in the gap. Amen? So I'm going to come and tell us what the Lord has blessed
here. Praise God. That was a surprise, really. Anyway, we have been studying about prayers. We have been studying about intercessory, studying in the gap. I think it's in the book of Ezekiel. I'm not so good in remembering the chapter, but I think it's 22:10, somewhere there. But it's just talking about standing in the gap. Like, it's saying, like, I look for someone who would stand in the gap. And then I think the thing goes aloud. God should have done something if he had seen someone standing in the gap praying for the people at that time, because they had sinned against him. But he didn't find anyone doing that. So he says that after that, he's going to destroy them because no one was standing in the gap. And the challenge was, are we standing in the gap? Are you praying for your friend? Are you praying for anyone? Are you praying for them? Because if you don't stand in the gap, so many things might happen and we don't know. By you just praying, it might have not happened. Also, there was this story that really challenged me about I can't remember the name, but I know she was sick. She was in the hospital, and this pastor visited her. And so what happened is, like, the pastor just thought it's going to be just one day thing that, okay, I'm going to go pray for this girl, and then she'll be healed. The hospital had given up on her. They had said, oh, there's no cure about this, so we can't do anything. So what we'll do is just give her time, and then, you know, she'll go. But something that happened and really challenged me is, like, this thing, the pastor didn't know it was just going to continue for years. He was going in the hospital for 3 days every week for, I think, 1 year plus. And the miracle didn't happen until one day they were about to give up. I mean, the hospital called and said, you know what, it's time now. Any time, she'll go. But the pastor went to the church, they prayed together, and the miracle happened. Instead of the girl passing away, she just woke up from the coma, and the first thing she said is, praise God. And that was a challenge. By us just being persistent in our prayers, let's go on praying for one another, intercede. And also something else that last Thursday was I know, an opener for me from Brother Julius, that we ought to be knowledgeable about the prayers. It was in the big book of Daniel, and it says that Daniel, by knowing the prophecy of Jeremiah, from the books, he was able to pray and stand in the gap. And I think the prophecy was supposed to be happening for 70 years, but by him praying and repenting and being including himself, though he had not sinned, he included himself like, Lord, I know we have sinned against you. Lord, I know we have transgressed against you, but God, I came before you asking that you will forgive these people, including me. So it's not about, they're saying like we have to be knowledgeable by reading the word of God. You have to know what you're praying about. Not just going about it like praying without no knowledge. You have to be knowledgeable about what you're praying about. And that's the only way you get a revelation. Also, something else that says that have that passion. Let that thing, whatever. Let me give you an example. You are praying for me. Let's say I'm sick. The only way you'll be able to pray for me seriously, it's it being touching you in your heart like, brother, so-and-so is sick. And I feel like I'm the one who is sick. I'm interceding for him or her. Let it touch in your heart. Let it come from your heart. It's just not about, oh, this is just a normal thing, so let me just pray for him or her. Oh, Lord, help him or what, just to pass time. No, it has to touch your heart. It has to come from your heart. And that's the only way you're going to have that connection. And through the prayers, really this is communication between you and God. There was another good question. It's like, why do we pray? Don't you think God knows all our needs? He says he knows from the day, even before we were born, he knew us. Why do we need to pray? For a good answer, come to Bible study on Thursday. We'll give you a good answer. Thank you. God bless you.
Hey, does that sound like somebody who is really learning something? Right? Let me tell you guys, and I'm not doing this an advertisement, you know, just a commercial for nothing. It's really, really a blessing for us to come here for that Bible study. If you have time, schedule a day, schedule, and you know the Lord is going to bless you. I, for one, have been blessed so immensely. You know, you learn things that, you know, and it's very interactive. It's not somebody standing like I'm standing before you here. We ask questions, and we ask hard questions, and among us, we are able to reason together even as we expect from the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you're going to be blessed. I would like to really thank Grace Wainaina, and Christine and Baker and also Emily for coming to visit with us. Let me tell you, experience will never be like any other that you've had anywhere. And we love visitors. Would like to acknowledge your presence and thank you so much for thinking about us. Amen. Thank you. About 3 weeks ago, we were talking about the will of God, and I just intend to summarize because we didn't finish on what I started. And I just want us to get into the scripture and finish it so that I can feel content that what we started is going to be completed, and so that we can be all equipped even as we learned about the will of God. when we talk about the will of God, this is a segment that really... talk about the will of God. Everybody, no one who exists and who really is in a relationship with the Lord doesn't want anything that happens or takes place in their lives for the will of God to be in the will of God. We always desire. I, for one, even as I grew up, desired for the will of God to take place in my life. I wanted the will of God to be, I wanted to involve the will of God even in choosing my life partner. I wanted the will of God to be involved in the careers that I've gone through even in my life. The will of God is a struggle for so many people. And whenever we know, we feel so content. You know, there's this kind of a satisfaction when you know that whatever you're doing or whatever you're pursuing, it is in line with the will of God. And so this is I've had many people who have raised questions like, Pastor, how can I know that what I'm doing is in the will of God? How can I pray that the will of God may be established in my life? And it's very pretty easy if we can really delve on the word of the Lord, because in this word, there is everything that we would ever need in life. Be it situations and circumstances in our lives, This book, the Bible, the Word of the Lord, in it has the solutions and the answers that we all need in life. You'd be surprised some of the things that are in the Bible. I was reading, actually, I think, in the book of Romans, and it was talking about the policemen. You know, that when you see the policemen have been put there by God. I don't know what some of you have ever read that scripture. To enforce the laws against the wrongdoers. So when you see a policeman stopping you because of a wrongdoing that you've done, don't rebuke the policeman, because you rebuking the policeman will not do anything, because they have been instituted there by the Lord to adjudicate and to oversee the laws of the land. Praise the Lord. So I mean, I was really surprised when I saw that, you know, that the Bible has literally every answer to the things that we go through even in life. And when we were studying about the will of God, we saw that even Jesus pursued to do the will of the Lord. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was about to die for the sins of humanity, he cried out unto his Father, and he told his Father, "Father, I'm just about to partake a cup that I've never experienced, and a cup that is just about to be very, very painful. But I have something within me that feels like I should not go for it. But you know, Lord, you are my God. It's not my will, but your will. Let your will be done." So you see, even Jesus himself determined to have the will of God be established even in his own life. And the Bible also says in the book of John, chapter number 6, verse number 38 to 40, Jesus speaking these words, he says, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those who he has given to me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day." So it is the will of the Lord that everyone who has been brought to the Lord, it is the will of the Lord that none of those should be taken away. Praise the Lord. It is very comforting to know that when we give our lives unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are given unto his arms, and he takes care of us, and he surrounds us with his favor. And it is the will of God that none of those who have been given to him, that they should be taken away. Praise the Lord. So it is very comforting to know that when you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are under the arms of the everlasting Father. And his will that the devil cannot snatch you away. Praise the Lord. You know that I am in God, and it is in the will and the purposes and in the purpose of God that I should not be taken away. No one has the power nor authority to come and snatch you from the arms of the everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. How more comforting can that be, to know that we have been born again, and that we are in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in the will of God that none of us should be taken away from his presence. Jesus also, we saw this in the book of John, chapter number 4, verse number 34. Jesus speaking when he was conversing with the Samaritan woman, and Jesus says to this to the disciples as they come to buy some fruit from the market, he says, "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish my work." At that time, Jesus was hungry and he was being brought some food, and he is speaking to his disciples and he is telling them that "my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." How comforting would it be to know that whatever we are involved in our career, in our family, whatever our children are doing, whatever we are involved in, maybe in helping other people in the community or in the charity work, that whatever we are doing, that it is in line with the will of the Lord. Praise be to God. It is really, really comforting to know that, you know what, I'm in this career,
And down the road, I know that even as I started this career, that this is in the perfect will of God. And it gives you the comfort to continue, because if it is in the will of God, whatever problems that there might arise, because of course, you know, when you are undertaking on any assignment, on any endeavor, there are bound to be, you know, challenges and situations that you will not be able to understand. But how comforting it is to know that, you know what, when I started it, I inquired from the Lord and he gave me a green light, praise the Lord. And whatever I am doing, I'm in the perfect will of God. It is so comforting. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. And I pray that we'll be able to discern what is the perfect will of God in our lives. And I remember we went into the book of Romans chapter number 12. We read the first two verses, and this is exactly what Paul was writing to the Romans. And he says this: I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And he says this in verses number 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, somebody say testing, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That means there are certain things in the world that are not good and they are not rightful for you. But the Bible says that when we surrender our lives, when we completely yield our minds and our lives unto God, he says that number one, we found out that our spirit, what is this, we define, or we saw what our spiritual, what spiritual worship is. Now, spiritual worship is not anything but to present our bodies as living sacrifices that are, and knowing that our bodies are holy and acceptable to God. Now, that is not an event. It is a process. It is a lifestyle. Praise the Lord. You don't organize for a day, you know, or a certain month in a year whereby we come and it says, and we all decide that, you know, on this very day, we are going to present our bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and pleasing to God. Remember, in the Old Testament, there are so many ordinances that they used to perform, say, once a year or a certain month in a year. They used to do certain things that were completely dedicated unto God. But our spiritual worship is a lifestyle. Somebody say lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. It is a day-to-day experience. Not only is it supposed to be experienced when we come into this house of God, not only is it supposed to be experienced on a Sunday morning when we all congregate together here in the worship of the Most High God, but it is something that takes place from Monday as you work with your people. I mean, you work with your friends, and then as you relate with your colleagues at work, it is something that is supposed to be spontaneous. It is something that is supposed to be continuous. A daily routine, a kind of a habit that you you adopt, and you know what you're worshiping. You have a spiritual worship every day by presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to be holy and pleasing to God. And now that whole statement there carries a whole lot of weight. If we begin to dissect it and to peel it, we would see so many things that we're going to find out even as we go along here. Praise be to God. So we found out that it would be very, very necessary in order for us to even get to a point whereby we can test and discern what is the perfect will of God. Paul admonishes the Romans, and I believe by extension, he's also admonishing us that we need to renew our minds. Praise be to God. We need to have our minds renewed. And how can we renew our mind? We went and found out that we can only renew our mind by the Word of God. And we found out what the Word of God was. I remember that we went into the book of Jeremiah, which says that the Word of God is like a hammer that splits a rock into pieces. How many of you can remember that? We also found out that the Word of God is active and alive in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12, that the Word of God is active and alive and it penetrates into the innermost of ourselves, the spirit, the soul, and even our bones, you know, the marrow, the life-producing elements of life. The Word of God is able to penetrate into those corners of our lives, the clevises of our lives. And if we can allow that Word to penetrate deep inside of us, it is able to conform. It is able to conform us or kind of to change the construction in which we are into a construction that would qualify to having our minds renewed. And after we have our minds renewed, then we'll be able to look at things the way Jesus looks at them. Praise the Lord. You know, for a natural mind, it would be very, very hard for me to come and tell you, love your enemies. Praise the Lord. Because how can you naturally, how would you tell me to love my enemies? When somebody has done me wrong, it would be almost impossible for a natural person to love the other person. But we see that when the Lord tells us you're supposed to even to pray and to love your enemies, then it is only a transformed mind. It is only a transformed mind that will be able to assimilate, to take that in and view it and view that statement. When you view that statement in the mind and the eyes of Christ, then you're able to see, okay, that is exactly what the Lord says, and you're able to flow through that statement without any problems. Because once your mind has been we have been transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we are able to understand even the scripture. Let me tell you, church, it is the reason why many in the Church of Christ, and I'm not talking about the Empowerment Christian Center, the reason why many people are detached from the Word of the Lord, or it doesn't even have any meaning into their lives, is because they have not been transformed by the renewing of their mind. I am telling you the truth. If we would be given to the Word of the Lord, completely be yielded to the Word of the Lord, and how can we be yielded to the Word of the Lord? It is by attending Bible studies. It is by coming to church regularly. It is by reading, having some quiet moments in the morning before you wake up. Just go through the scriptures, read a chapter or two chapters. Let the Word of God minister to you. And what that does is, the moment, because the Word of the Lord is alive, the moment you allow the Word of God to come into you, it begins to get into the clevises and transforming some of the structures, some of the structures you've held for too long and so dear. It begins to change you so that you're able to even wonder how some things you're able to take in, just because that Word has a transformational power to come and change us. And what it does is that it gets into our mind, the core, which is the core of us. Remember when we were talking about the heart. You know, we were talking about guarding our heart so diligently, for out of it comes what? Can you remember? Guard your heart so diligently, for out of it comes what? The issues of life. Why is it talking about the heart? It's not about talking about the physical heart that pumps your blood. No, it talks about the core place in your life that develops the goals, the dreams, that develops the visions about your life, that connects issues in your life, issues that concern your purpose in life. That is what we are talking about. Guard what comes out of your heart so diligently, for out of it flows the issues of life. It is the same thing. So it talks about if we can allow the Word of God to transform us. The only way we can allow the Word of God to renew us, it is by giving ourselves to it so that it can get into that core area in our lives. And the moment that area is renewed, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, we'll be able to judge, we'll be able to know what is the perfect will of God, because on a day-to-day basis, we are faced with challenges to make decisions, and we are faced with the challenges to have an idea of what we are supposed to do. And unless we have a renewed mind, it is very easy to go by our own intellect. And how many of you know that we are limited up to a certain extent? We know things up to a certain extent, you know, and sometimes whatever you might think is right may not be right down the road, right? Because sometimes, you know, as a human being, I'm seeing up to here. You know, I'm seeing up to maybe the end of the church, and what I see might be beautiful, But you know, if I continue with the journey with what I think might be right, I might be distraught, knowing that, you know, down the road there were situations that I was not prepared for. So whatever you might see right now, might be good, but it might not be the right thing for you to do. Are you listening to me? I'll give you a very good example. When we were coming to America many, many years ago, I've told you this story over and over again. I attempted many times to go to the embassy, and every time gathered all the documents that I had, you know, to go to the embassy so that I would get a visa. Now, what I was seeing at that moment was for me to get out of the situation which I was in, a situation of joblessness, a situation of hopelessness, and go to a foreign land where maybe I would start life. And I saw it clearly. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I saw, you know, all I needed to do is gather some documents and go up there and come up here and begin life here in America, as most of you did, you know. But I remember there was one friend of mine called Tony. He had preceded me over here, and he had come over to America. And he told me that, Tony, be very, very careful what you're planning to do. If I were you, I would not even bring my family. I would, first of all, maybe come alone, because life is very challenging. And how many of you know that life can be very, very challenging when you come the very first time, especially when you don't have anybody to help you? It can be very, very challenging. And so I thought, you know, Tony just went to America, and now he's becoming jealous of me coming to America. Why would he tell me not even to come with my children, my family? I'm not really willing to leave my family. We'll go to the embassy, you know, with the entire passports of my wife and my son, and every time they would stamp it, no. Five good times, and I spent a lot of money, you know, wanting to come to a place where I thought at the time would be the appropriate time. But see, God saw in the future, and he saw the things that I would go through. And I know some of us, you know, have gone through those challenges. I remember very well that every morning I'd wake up and I would go to a nearby church, a full gospel church, and I'll cry to God and I'll tell God, let this be your will. If it is not your will, just, you know, let me know that it is your will. And I prayed and I prayed. I went even to places and I fasted, and I really wanted it to be that the Lord would lead and guide me. And eventually, everything seemed to be cut short. And I was so disappointed, and I was so discouraged. And that's what happens sometimes when you seek the Lord's will. When you're looking at a thing at that moment, it looks so clear and it looks so beautiful. Let me tell you, not everything that you look that may be beautiful in your eyes might be right for you at that particular moment. But the Lord sees beyond the horizon. Praise be to God. When we surrender our lives unto the Lord, he is able to see beyond what we are not able to see. So, cut a long story short, you know, there was this green card thing that, you know, somebody came and told me we can apply. We applied for it. We laid hand on it, anointed it. I remember we joined our hands, anointed it, and we applied many, many years ago, and we forgot about it. And cut a long story short, you know, there was a bomb blast, you know, thing that took place, and there was a lot of delay, I think about 3 years. And finally, I went to the post office, and I received a congratulatory letter saying that we had been accepted in the, I can't remember what the diversity visa program, what it was. But anyway, we had been accepted through the green card program to come over here. Now, we came up here, and then that's when I realized, oh, now I see how God's perfect plan fits in, because I didn't have enough money to go and take the 12 credits that I was supposed to take, you know, as an F1 student, which I really wanted to do. And furthermore, also, if I was to come with my wife, and if she was to come with an F1 visa, then she would also take 12 credits, and life would have been very hectic at the moment. And here we are, God has just given us a diversity visa program, and we have come into the U.S., and now I'm saying, oh, no wonder, you know, God is good to wait for the Lord's time. And it is good, it is really, really good, even though it was difficult for me to comprehend at the time of my waiting. But now I came to realize, oh, God was able to see beyond what I was able to see. Praise be to God. So my challenge to us is this, that the moment we give ourselves, we yield ourselves to the ministry of the, we yield ourselves to the Lord, and we desire that he takes over our plans, and we desire that our lives be in perfect lineup with his will, he is able to see that which we are not able to see. And he is able only to release, He is able only to release that which is beneficial to you in the long term. Praise be to God. You might be wanting something right now and now. You know? And when you look at it, Pastor Francis, when you look at it, it looks, man, so glorious. And you even have ideas and things that will tell you that this is the right thing for me to do. But you don't know how it is going to be 1 year when you undertake on that thing. Now, if you undertook on your own strength, and then 1 year you're frustrated, what happens? Now, you're able to reflect back and saw how glorious it was, right? That's the first thing that you do. You're able to look back and say, oh, that thing when I started it, it was so glorious. But now, why am I being frustrated? But the question also comes into your mind, did you inquire from the Lord? But suppose you inquired from the Lord and he shut that door and he led you into a door that was not really, really didn't look so glorious, and you got into it, praise the Lord, and as you continue to advance, things began to be glorious as you went along. Praise be to God. I've been talking to a young couple that are planning to get married, and the Lord was speaking to me and I was telling them, but the moment you get married, the moment you're planning to, you organize for your wedding and everything, and you're just about to get into marriage, the fact is there are some golden gems in each one of you. Praise the Lord. But those gems may not be released by the time you're relating to each other. There are certain things that would allow for the gold and the diamonds to be released to each other even as you go, as you search forth in your life. And what is going to allow that to be, I mean, how is the gold and the diamonds be released from to each other even as you go along? Number one, you have to be patient with each other. You have to love one another. You have to submit to each other. Praise the Lord. And those things are going to be released automatically even as you continue living together as husband and wife. And you know, that in other words, it's like there is a condition. There is a condition for anything, for us to test, for us even to come to that point whereby we can discern and test that which is the perfect will of God. Number one, we have to allow the word of God to come into us. And after that word comes into us, it has an intent. Its intent is to transform us. And once we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, then when we are faced with these various situations in life, because in life there will be situations that will come, we are able now to look at that situation with a renewed mind. And when we test it, we are able to test it. Let me see whether this is it in line with the word of God? We're able to flip over the word of God. What does the word of God say concerning my business? What does the word of the Lord say in my prosperity? I'm able to go through the scriptures and I'm able to come to a decision-making, an educated decision-making position whereby I'm able to know, well, if I venture into this thing, I know it is in the perfect will of God. Praise be to God. Are you with me up to that point? Okay. Now, there are two wills of God, and I really want to finish this today, so please bear with me for the next few minutes, and I'm just going to be done. There are two wills of God, and I think I mentioned this to you. There's what we call God's will of decree, or the sovereign will of God. Somebody say the sovereign will of God. Yeah, there are certain things that God set since the foundations of the world to take place. You cannot do anything about them. God has set them since the foundations of the earth, and there's very little that you can do against them. It is why did God set them? We cannot question God. God sent them. He is sovereign. He is high above. He can do what he wants. He is God. Praise God. For example, in Matthew 26, verse number 39, listen to the prayer that Jesus makes. This is what Jesus says. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I, but as you will. Mark 14:24. This is what Jesus is speaking, and he says, he's speaking this to his disciples, and he is telling them, you will all fall away. Now, he is speaking this to a group of his disciples who really followed him so closely, okay? And he is telling them, you will all fall away. Jesus told them, for it is written, it has been instituted. In other words, it has already been decreed from the foundations of the world, of the world, that I will strike the shepherd and the shepherd will be scattered. Remember, the death of Jesus Christ had been predestined even long, long, long before the world was created. In Acts chapter number 4, verse 27, I want to go quickly. In this city, there were gathered, Acts chapter number 4, 27 to 28. Truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servants, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Praise the Lord. And you wonder, you know, Jesus, why did Jesus have Judas? You know, he was born just to do whatever he did to betray the Son of. And actually, is it not Jesus who said, woe unto you, I wish you were not even born. But he was born to fulfill that. What purpose? So there are some things that have been preset, you know, as the will, perfect will of God, and you cannot change them. And all we have to do is just swim along with those things. They might be comfortable. You know, the Bible says the Lord chooses whom to bless and whom not to bless. He chooses what to do and what to what. Who can counsel the Lord? Who can give him counsel of what to do? He is God and he is sovereign. Are we clear up to that point? Praise the Lord. So there are certain things that when they come, you can question them. And you know what? Whether you question them or not, they are facts. They have been established and they are there and they will never be changed. You know, that is what I was telling you about the sovereign will of God, will that has already preset. Okay. In him, Christ, this is in Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 11. In him, which is Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Let me tell you, church, you have been predestined. Nobody can change that fact. You have been predestined to be conformed to his will. Praise the Lord. And no one can change that fact. Praise the Lord. Now, let us see in what is the will number two. I've told you about the sovereign will of God, and I want to go pretty quick. Let us see what is the will number two. It is what is called God's will of command. Somebody say God's will of command. Or the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God. Now, what is the difference? The difference between the sovereign will of God, those are preset things that are God already predestined even before the foundations of the earth. But God's will of command, or the revealed will of God, is the will that has been released to us, or rather commandments or instructions that have been released out there for us to follow. So, and it is in our, we have been given the responsibility to search the scripture so that we can know what is the perfect will of God. And this is what we are calling the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God can be found in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. The sovereign will can also be found in the Bible. We can read about it, but we have nothing to do about it. But we have something to do with the revealed will of God. If we don't apply ourselves to the revealed will of God and things go wrong in our lives, we cannot blame God, because he has put his revealed will in his word so that when we know it, it will be to our benefit. Praise the Lord. Have I confused anybody? The sovereign will of God, we can't do anything about it. We have to flow with it. We have to accept that things have been set, and we have to we have just to know that they have been preset. There's nothing we can do about it. Now, the revealed will of God, it has been set there for our own benefits. Each and every one of us has a purpose to accomplish here on earth. And that purpose is going to go in line with the revealed will of God that is in the scriptures. So God gives us the work to do. The work that the Lord has given us to do is to go through into the scriptures and fish out that which is the revealed will in our lives or in our circumstances, so that we can incorporate it with what God has called us to do, and so we'll be able to fulfill his purpose. Is that very clear? Am I losing anybody? Is that very clear? Okay. Very quickly, I'm going to go through to three stages in knowing and doing the revealed will of God. Number one, we have to come, the stage number one, we have to know that there is nowhere else that we can find the revealed will of God except in the Holy Scriptures. Praise be to God. In the book of 2 Timothy, verse chapter number 3, 16, 17, listen to what the scripture says, and I know most of you know this scripture. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for, number one, teaching, for rebuking. Do you understand what rebuking is? You understand what rebuking is, right? And for correcting and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped in every good work. I'll repeat. All scriptures is inspired by God and is profitable for the teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped in every good work. The Lord's intention for each and every one of us as his disciples, number one, is to be equipped for good work. Everybody has been called to do some work in the ministry. Praise the Lord. You and you and you and you and each and every one of us have been called to do the work of the ministry here in church. The Lord has never called anybody to just come and just sit and be blessed and then go home, or just come and just become a child of God in January 1st, and by December 31st, they're not doing anything and they're not being involved in the ministry. You know, everybody, once you have been born again and you've been introduced into the family of God, hello? God calls on us to do something in the body. Amen? What happens is that you become a member of the body of Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. You have a body, right? Everybody has a body, isn't it? Everybody has a body. Every organ in your body has a function, right? If the Lord was to give you a brand new organ, he would not just give you an organ without a function. He would give you a function to come and do something, to help you something. If he would decide, and God, of course, forbid, you know, that he would give you hand number 3, he would think that you're so busy. You know, this guy is so busy, and I'm going to give him hand number 3. I don't know whether you would put maybe hand number 3 maybe on your back to just, you know, be scratching your back or do something, or maybe to be doing some functions on the back, you know, while these are, you're really doing some things, but on the same time, the other hand is doing something. But he would never give you an organ in your body that doesn't have any function. Tell me, look at the physiology of your body. Which organ doesn't have its purpose? Hair protects your head. The eyes see, you smell. You talk with your mouth, you eat, you know. The neck supports the head. The hands, I would like to do. You remember the preacher of last Sunday? To maintain balance. Yeah? Everything in the body has some work to do. So when you are born again, what happens is that you are introduced. It is like an organ that is brought into the body. And so that organ ought to have some responsibility. That's why the word of God is there, so that you can be equipped for some good work. Praise the Lord. It has been given, the Bible says it's been given for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, so the word of God can correct you. The word of God is supposed to train us in righteousness. The word of God is supposed to teach us. It's supposed to rebuke us. But how many people today, you would really use the word of God to correct them and they would be submissive to that correction? Some of them, you would correct people and they would never see them again. But the word of God has been written for that very, very purpose. It's not only for teaching, but it's for all those other purposes also as we're going there. So stage number one is for us to know that the revealed will of God, the command, the revealed will of God, can be found in the Bible. And we need, in order for us to really embrace this revealed will of God, number one, we have to go by what I told you that is written in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, the first 2 verses, whereby we have to submit ourselves. We will have to allow our minds to be renewed by the transformation by the word of God. And so that is the first stage. We have to know that nowhere else are we going to find precepts that will encourage us to know what is the revealed of God, except in the scriptures. So it's very, very important for us to know that God's authoritative will of command is only found in the Word of God or in the Bible. Now, stage number two. Now, the second stage we have to learn in stage number two is that whatever we learn from the Word of God, whatever we understand that is, or whatever we come to know as the revealed will of God in our lives, we have to desire to apply ourselves to it. Praise the Lord. For the Bible says, do not be hearers, but be doers of the word. So what benefit is it going to be to us if we can only hear and hear a good word, and then we fail to apply ourselves to the later? Like, for example, we've been learning about prayer in the Bible study. It would really, really be a waste of my 2 hours coming here every Thursday, and I'm learning about that, you know, and the Lord looked everywhere, the eyes of the Lord ranged throughout the face of the earth and found none who would stand in the gap. And now I'm learning about what it means to stand in the gap, that, you know, I need to have pre-knowledge of what I'm praying for. If I don't apply myself to really know, okay, this is my brother here, and I need to stand in the gap for him, what is he going through? If I fail to really understand and to apply myself to the scriptures that I'm learning on Thursday, it will just be a waste of my 2 hours in there. So knowing the revealed will of God that is in the scriptures doesn't do to you anything, or it will not help you anyway in any way unless we apply ourselves. We apply ourselves to what we learn. Are you listening to me? Actually, to be in all honesty, the greatest benefit that we can get from reading the word of the Lord is applying ourselves to it. And you know what? I can give you testimonies. When I got married, you know, there's so many things that I did, you know, stupid things that I did, foolish things that I did, you know, when I got, you know, I got married. I was living my life, you know, just like I was a teenager, and some of the things that I was not even supposed to be doing. But, you know, over time, I've learned things from the word of the Lord. Like how I'm supposed to treat my wife, how I'm supposed to relate with my children, how I'm supposed to relate with other people. And I realize that I've grown, because those things that I used to do then, I don't do them anymore. Why? The things that you used to do, you don't do them anymore because, number one, you learn the things from the Word of God. And when we apply ourselves to those things, that is when growth and maturity begins. Praise the Lord. I had this guy back in the day when, you know, this young man, he was actually in the youth group where I was, you know, like the youth pastor. And this young man, every time was with his Bible, he used to read, and he would give him even opportunities to come and minister, and you know, and even we would have time to share. He would actually silence everybody. He would memorize this scripture, and that's good, you know. And he would tell, "I've read the Bible 5 times. What are you telling me? You've not even read a chapter today." You know, he would really put us down. And by the way, I was the youth pastor. And sometimes I've not even read the Bible at that time. I've not even read it even once. I would feel like I'm not even born again. But see, the thing is, this guy, the things that he did in the night, oh my God. You'd hear that this brother did these things and you would wonder, is this the brother who says that he has read the Bible 5 times? Huh? You know, going out, unasikia ati amenyemelea kasiana kamutu amekafieka mahali. Huh? I mean, just going out and doing some weird things that you don't even believe. Somebody who has read the Bible 5 times. So what significance was his reading the Bible 5 times? Did it have any significance? Because he was just reading it as you would read a novel. He was just reading it as you'd open up a CNN page on the internet and read what is happening. And, you'd, you know, 5 minutes later, if you ask anybody what is happening, they wouldn't even know. But when you read this word, it's better actually to read just 3 lines and apply yourself to those 3 lines. You know, read about, you know, God says that love your enemies. If that is a problem, fast and pray. God, I'm not reading any scriptures unless you really help me work on this to love my enemies, because I still have a problem to love my enemies. You know, and you know, we have challenges. I have a problem. You know, I have problems and issues that I really need God to work on. You know, and there are people also who jump from one church to another, and they jump from one meeting to another. You hear Ben Hine, you hear Bonke is there, you hear Maurice Rulo is there. And then you look at their lives, and why is those meetings not changing us? No, by the way, I'm not saying it's bad to attend those meetings. But if you can attend that meeting and really it changes you, please attend it. But if you're going to be jumping, oh, I hear this preacher. Oh, I hear this one. Is it? Hey, I hear you. You know, your life is just you attending meetings, church goings. You know, I'm not blessed here. You want to go to another church? Let me tell you, if you can just settle down and read the word of God and apply ourselves to it, it would have an effect in our lives. Even one chapter a day, even one chapter a week, Pastor. One chapter a week. And you say, God, help me. This one, help me. I'm not going to backstab anybody. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. I want to honor you. The Lord is going to take that which you have learned and apply to yourself, and he's going to use you mightily. Are you listening to me? Applying ourselves, it is just a stage number two. We have to learn to apply ourselves to the things that we learn. And that's a big problem. The devil comes to steal that word immediately. Remember what it talks about, the parable of the seed? You know, some seeds fell into the thorns and some fell on the fertile ground. Some fell on some rocks. Be that soil whereby when the seed falls, it will begin to germinate. And that has been a problem. Most of the problems and issues that we have in the church of Christ today, it is in this area. It is not people don't read the word of God. You know, people read the word of God seriously. People take time even to have their quiet time. But the problem comes to apply ourselves to the scripture. Because if we can apply ourselves, be like the Bereans or the people in Antioch. They were referred as Christians because they did everything. Let me tell you, it's not very, very difficult for me to read this word and apply myself to it and not treat you like Jesus would treat you. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? In other words, you ask, what would Jesus do in this situation? Do you know many times we don't even ask ourselves that question? What would Jesus do in these situations? Somebody has just come and they've cut you in the traffic, or they just said something bad on you, and you ask yourself, at that time you don't even ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You feel like you feel that anger really coming and you want to cut them and hit their car? But when the word of the Lord is in us, it is able to help us. So stage number two. It is good to listen. Let me read this captions that I had here. The Bible does not tell. There are certain things that are not really in the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell you what car to buy. During those days, they didn't even have cars, right? So you don't even know. The Bible doesn't say about what color of a car that you need to buy. Maybe where do I need to go to Plano, or do I need to go to Louisville? Do I need to go to live in Arlington? The Bible doesn't say that. There are some things that it doesn't say. You know, am I supposed to marry a 5'4" woman? Am I supposed to really marry a 6'7" man who is really strong and macho? The Bible doesn't instruct you. In fact, the Bible would have maybe a very big book. It would have the solutions for every single human being here. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? But we are able to know, listen to what this caption says. The Bible does not tell you which person to marry or which car to drive or whether to own a home or rent, where to take your vacation, what cell phone plan to buy, whether T-Mobile or AT&T. The Bible doesn't give you those options. Or which brand of orange juice to drink. Or 1,000 other choices to make. This is very interesting. What is necessary is that we have a renewed mind that is so shaped and so governed by the revealed will of God in the Bible that we see and assess all relevant factors with the mind of Christ and design what God is calling us to do. This is very different from constantly trying to hear God's voice. You know, let me tell you, it's not bad to hear God's voice. And sometimes we live like Gideon, whereby he waited on the Lord. Lord, ate shayo watu kayo. Shayo watu kwa shoro negume ya newe muadhani. Negume ya nwari ya. Sorry. Sylvia, I'm so sorry. You know, we are so tuned to hearing God, and when we are so tuned to going where ministers are, and you're on the front seat so that they can call you. I told you the example that I used to get mad in our maturity convention because ministers would come and they would not have a word of knowledge for me. They would have a word of knowledge for Charity. They would have a word of knowledge for her husband. They would have a word of knowledge for Joyce. They would have a word for Francis and Mary and everybody except me. And I would really get mad. And I would actually get discouraged. I would say that maturity convention was not a maturity convention. Because nobody, they never spoke a word for me. And every time we are looking for, yeah, we become like those, you know, those Wakorinos, you know, the way they used to prophesy. They go, they would look for somebody who would really need a wife. Maybe a young man who has not really gotten married, and there is also a lady who is really also in their midst, and they will say, Sadraka, 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 and Rakeli, they are more than the other. The Lord has said it is Sadraka and Rakeli. It doesn't work like that. Those are abracadabra, you know, from the pit of hell, of the devil. So there's a difference between, listen. There's a difference, there's a very big difference between constantly trying to hear the voice of God saying to do this and do that and willing for people, if you know, we're looking for people for God's voice to pass through other people. I used to be like that. You know, you're looking for people, you know, and you are really looking at them with open eyes. Please, I'm looking for you so that you can, their attention can be really, you know, focus, to bring the focus so that they cannot miss you. But in reality, surely, the Lord, when our minds are transformed, we are in tune with the will of God. And you don't need anybody to tell you whether you need to buy a blue car or a yellow car or a Toyota or a Hyundai or whatever brand it is. But if you're in the will of God, if you're in perfect will and your renewed mind is, you know that when you walk into a dealership and you see an orange Toyota, you say, no, I'm not interested with that. Because that orange Toyota might have a mechanical problem that you might not know. But you might see another old Oldsmobile on this side that is green in color. And you feel all of a sudden you being led to that Oldsmobile. And you're buying it. And it serves you for 10 years. Why? Because you're in perfect will of God. Are you listening to me? And I'm almost concluding. So there's a world of difference between praying and laboring for a renewed mind that discerns how to apply God's word on the one hand and the habit of asking God to give you a new revelation of what to do on the other hand. So that's stage number two. Very, very important. Apply yourselves to the scriptures. And then stage number three. Finally, the third stage of God's will command is vast majority of living whereby there's no conscience reflection before we act. You know, do you schedule anger? How many of you schedule anger? Yeah, you say, you know, at 6 o'clock, I'm going to get angry. Ma, check me, 6 o'clock, I'm going to get angry. Or you say, it's 6 o'clock when somebody is going to cut me and I'm going to get mad and I'm going to kill them. There are certain things you don't schedule in your life, but they flow spontaneously as we experience things in life. Life is a spontaneous, it's a process. Are you listening to me? And so it is very, very essential for our minds to be so tuned with the will of God. So when those things come, when you're prompted to get angry, you can get angry and not sin. Are you listening to me? As the word of God says, that do not let the sun go down with your anger. So you can be angry with somebody and not sin. Jesus got angry when he got into the temple and people were selling stuff into his father's house, right? And he ran them out. But he never sinned. You know, or you can get into pits whereby you feel like you want to hate somebody. Now, when the word of God is so richly in you, it will bubble out and flow out to them. And you provide a show, God. It will provide a shield so that you may not sin. That renewal of your mind, that transformation, will provide a shield. Somebody say a shield. A shield all around about you so that even as you walk and as you are tempted in life to sin against the Lord, you know what? That shield will always protect you not to sin against the Lord. Why? Because you have the shield of the word of the Lord. Are you listening me up to that point? So stage number three is very, very important to know. There are certain things. We don't schedule. We don't have an event whereby, you know, on Sunday morning, I'm going to do this and I'm going to plan to do evil. There are certain things that will just flow out of us spontaneously. And so as they spill over, then they will meet that shield of the protective shield of the will of God that will always make sure that you stand as a child of God without sin. Matthew 12:34, and I'm concluding. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, On this day, judgment people will give an account for every careless word they speak. That is very, very, that's very, 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 very tough even to take it. Matthew 12:33, make the tree good and the fruit will be good. That is a great advantage. That is what God calls to you to do. We need Christ who died for our sins, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into Christ's exalting truth and work in as we embrace the truth in humility. Praise be to God. So those three stages are important. Stage number one is to know and to be cognizant of the fact that the revealed will of God is only found in the Bible. Stage number two is to apply ourselves to what we learn. You know, be the doers. No, do not just be the hearers, but be the doers of the word. Stage number three is to always provide that protective shield around us. And how are we going to do that? It's because, you know, as in life, there's things that will just come spontaneously. And as they come and they cause us to react against God, then they will find that protective shield of the will of God, and it will protect us and ensure us to spontaneously remain as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Praise be to God. Shall we stand on our feet? Hallelujah. Our Father, we are grateful that you've brought this word, Lord, even to our hearts today. I'm so grateful. And thank you so much, Lord, even for allowing these, your children, Lord, even to be in a position to receive this word. I pray that this word, Lord, shall not be stolen from their hearts, but it shall propel them, Lord, even to their positions and places of destiny in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for each one of them, Lord, I pray that they will singly and corporately appropriate this word of the Lord as they allow this word, Father, to settle into their hearts. I pray that they will also apply themselves, Lord, even to the precepts of the word of the Lord. Father, this year, God, we choose to honor you in our everyday thing that we do, Father, our relationship with our friends. We would like to honor you. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the church family, Lord, wherever they could be. There are some who are not able to make it to church. I speak a blessing over their lives. Father, I pray that you shall give them direction. I pray that you shall protect them. And I pray that you shall give them an assurance, Lord, that you are in their case and that you are helping them, Lord, even to accomplish the purpose for which you brought them here on earth. I am grateful, Lord, even for what you have done for us this far. I'm grateful for sustaining us in your salvation. Number one, Lord, I'm grateful that our names are written in the book of life. Above every other thing, Lord God, we need to rejoice that that aspect has taken place, Lord, when we have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, even for the so many who are yet to enroll in the family of God. I pray that, Father, they will not harden their hearts, but, Father God, in the listening of your word, Father, they will respond to the same God and surrender their lives to you in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, even to come here corporately, to lift our hands, to lift our voices in worship of your name. It is an honor, and we are grateful, Father, for giving us that opportunity. You might be here, never given your life to Jesus. I would never want to finish up this this meeting without giving you an opportunity to surrender your life to the Lord. You're here, you've never given your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand, and I can pray for you. And the Lord can come into your life and become your Lord and Savior. Is there anyone? Lift up your hand right now in Jesus' name. Father, I speak a blessing to your people. Wherever their hands shall find to do this coming week, Lord, it shall be blessed. I pray that, Father God, you shall provide your counsel. I pray, Father God, you shall offer your direction. Father God, even in issues that are so difficult, Lord, even not to come to a good conclusion, Father, you shall give them the ability to find solutions even to the same. Be glorified in their lives, Father, to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Amen.